Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be back here on a Friday afternoon getting to do this again. Thank you so much for being with us and making it possible for us to do this again. And I got to tell you, this is my favorite topic today and two of my very favorite guests today. So I am very much looking forward to this Monday show. What can you get a better topic than Jesus? I mean, the first hour, we'll talk about having a relationship with Jesus. Second hour, we're talking about specifically his how the Beatitudes are the core of what Jesus teaches and what is that core? So second hour, Father Sebastian Walsh will join us. He's got a new book called Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness. And this hour, Marcellino D'Ambrosio. So that's a pretty good deal, huh? That is, if you don't know Dr. D'Ambrosio, maybe you know him as Dr. Italy. He's a professor of theology. He's got five kids. He's a performer, a speaker, a New York Times bestseller, and he hosts pilgrimages. If you haven't got his book and video set, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, you're missing one of the very finest resources in the world on the person of Jesus and a whole bunch of other writing as well. Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, thank you so much for being with us.
I am delighted to be with you. And you know what? The opening music for Catholic Answers reminds me of my rock and roll days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When I said you were a performer, that you were in a rock band.
I was in many rock bands, but just as I was coming to a conversion point, I was in one of the largest rock bands in Southern New England, and I was only 16. All the guys were in their 20s, but it was an awesome experience, and God made me realize that following Jesus is even more exciting than stardom in the rock and roll world. It was easy for me to see that, believe it or not, and so put down my bass guitar and picked up my Bible and haven't looked back since.
Well, that's the thing we want to talk about this hour, and I want to invite folks to call. I know lots of people love to talk with Dr. D'Ambrosio, this is your opportunity, 888-318-7884. But relationship with Jesus is our topic this hour, 888-318-7884. I know you and I have talked about this before, but in all that we do in Catholic media and whatever else we might be engaged in, The real thing, it's very easy to point to what you would like for people to have, a relationship with Jesus. That's what you want them to have, a friendship with Jesus. So what is that and how do you have it?
Well, first of all, I just want to make this point very clear. The Catholic Church has so much in its tradition that sometimes people have kind of, whether they're looking in from the outside or even Catholics themselves, just miss the fact that absolutely everything in the Catholic heritage, from the saints to the sacraments, to the doctrines, to the moral life, like the commandments, everything really comes right down to a relationship with Jesus. Everything is connected to him. Everything leads to him. Everything flows from him. So that's really key, okay? And the second thing I want to say is that God became man in order that he could be really near us. You know, I mean, God with us was a prophecy of Isaiah that this coming king is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And that's really what this is about. I mean, Jesus comes close to us. He brings God close to us, that the unseen God becomes visible in him. We can never fully understand God's love, but we can experience it. We can see it in him, in his public ministry, and most especially in his laying down of his life for us and for the Father. I mean, greater love has no man ever seen. Right? Yeah. That he lays his life down for his friends, but also even when his friends were being enemies or were being bad friends, you know? And so that's the way he is. And that's what's so incredible about the good news of the gospel is that we, each person listening right now, I know this is hard for everyone to believe, but every person listening right now, no matter what you've done, no matter who you have been up till now, where you've been, you are precious to God. He wants to be a father to you, and he shows that forth to you in Jesus. And Jesus invites you to come into a living relationship where you can let go, you can be forgiven, but you can be made new. And I think that's key, is that Jesus is in the process of transformation. He transformed water into wine. He transformed bread and wine at the Last Supper into his body and blood. But it's all to transform us and to make us more of what we ever thought we could be. More ourselves, not leaving behind the best about ourselves, because that's what got it put in us, you know. But I mean, how do we do that? We simply say yes. We let him into our lives. We open the door. You know, he knocks on the door, and it says in Revelation, and the door doesn't have a handle on the outside. We let him in, and we ask him to be the center of our lives. That happened to me for the first time. I was raised Catholic and never stopped going to church. But somehow I didn't really get the idea that ordinary Catholics could have a living relationship with Jesus and walk with him on a day-to-day basis and actually see him working in our lives, hear him speaking to us. I thought that was maybe for mystics, but not for the rank and file Catholic. Yeah, for us, I thought we'd just pray and obey, you know, and that kind of thing.
The Catholic thing,
And try to keep the rules. And that was never the Catholic thing, really. I mean, that's what people thought it was. That's what I thought it was. But I met people who were alive in him, and they were kids my age, first and foremost, who were in serious trouble in many ways, because one was selling drugs and one was using them pretty heavily. But anyway, both of them had their lives changed, and they glowed. They were free of drugs and free of the need to perform and sell themselves to other people for approval. I just saw what they had was something I wanted to know more about. And so I met a whole community of people, old, young and old, like that, who kind of showed me what was possible. And then they helped me to make this prayer. Yeah, Jesus, come into my life, be the center of my life, not just a part of my life, not just a figure on the wall, you know, on a crucifix, but someone, I want you to take control. And I want your Holy Spirit that you died to give us to be unlocked in my life, to become the power of my life. And I had received him in baptism and confirmation, but he's kind of like in the deep freeze, you know? And so it needed to be stirred up. And once that started to happen, it's just kept happening. And that's over 40 years ago now.
Praise God.
And he keeps on doing more. Yeah.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH, the number you can call to talk with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio about this personal relationship with Jesus. It is true that as Catholics, we've kind of had to learn that language in a sense. I mean, there was always the language of the church. Of the saints of the church, it was always the what their lives showed was this personal relationship with Jesus. But you know, maybe I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, you almost would have said, "Well, that's a Protestant if they're saying that."
exactly. You know, which is what really I think one of the things we need to do here is just realize, first of all, that our Protestant friends who love Jesus and want a relationship with him, well, that's very Catholic. First of all, that's a beautiful thing. And secondly, we've got to learn to speak that language, because it really is the language of St. Paul. It's the language of the scriptures. It's the language of the saints, as you just said. It might not have been the language of the catechesis we got when we were young, you know, and even, you know, modern catechesis, a lot of times we'll talk about things like, you know, be good to your neighbor and God is love. But it doesn't sometimes... it equally doesn't get personal with our relationship with him. You know, without experiencing his love and surrendering to his love, we don't have a lot of love to give to other people. So a moralistic gospel of just do good and social action, you know, I was involved in social action, and I was trying to change the world besides playing rock and roll for fun. And, you know, I saw people burn out, run out of steam. And then when I found Christ, I read these beautiful words, I am the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You can't bear any fruit. And so, I mean, people who want to be good and want to be loving and think that's the essence of the gospel, well, you know, that's really important. But without being attached to him, you don't have the juice. You don't have the sap, the living sap, right, to produce the fruit of charity. So, I mean, that's what I think is like so amazingly exciting, is that he comes to us and gives us that energy to be more for others, which is pretty awesome.
It sure is. 888-318-7884, the number. Your calls are welcome here. 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking about personal relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus, mine and ours, our relationship together with Jesus. If you think it's too late for you, if you think that ship has sailed, it's not too late. You can call and we can talk about it. Maybe you think it's too early for you. You're too young and you got other things to do. Not the case at all. There's nothing standing in the way. And I believe, as Pope St. John Paul used to say, He takes nothing from you. Don't lose anything when you gain Jesus. So give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'd love to talk with you, and we'll be right back with Marcellino D'Ambrosio on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
More to Life is all about exploring what it means to live the Catholic difference in everything we do.
Our goal is to help people see that when they are connected to His grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. The Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, you know him as Dr. Italy, perhaps, is here with us to talk about Jesus. If you've got questions about the person of Jesus and how to have a relationship with him today, we would love to take those questions. 888-318-7884. Maybe you're trying to help others into the relationship with Jesus. If that's the case, you're also welcome. 888-318-7884. The saints down through the ages have carried his name and his person to the far-flung places, and there was a time when places that we now think of as the heart of the modern world were brand new mission territory. And I say that because I want to mention before I go to the callers that you're going to be focusing on some of those saints who went into wild places like Germany and Belgium and Switzerland before they were Germany and Belgium and Switzerland. When are you going and what are you doing?
I am starting in Switzerland in May with a pilgrimage that walks in the footsteps of those early monks who brought the gospel to that whole area, which was just forest and full of barbarian tribes. We're going to start in Switzerland. We're going to hop on a boat and from Switzerland make our way down the Rhine, looking at the great cathedrals, the magnificent monasteries, the castles, but most importantly, the fortresses of faith that were the saints like Hildegard of Bingen, like Edith Stein, like St. Albert the Great. All right, we're going to go to Cologne, to one of the most magnificent cathedrals in the world, and then head to Amsterdam. So it's going to be a magnificent cruise where we actually have a whole river cruise boat that's just going to be a floating Catholic Christian community. Mass every day. It's going to be really awesome.
And you leave in May and come back in June.
Leave in May, yes, around May, I think May 23rd is the date we leave. And people can spend a little extra time in Switzerland, get there May 20th, but we finish June 2nd. The great feast of Saint Marcellino is when we finish in Amsterdam.
Well done. Anyway, well done.
Yeah. People Perfect. Can come. We want people to come. We got room. DrItaly.com. That's DrItaly.com. Every page has a pilgrimage tab. Click on it and find out about the details and about the costs. And you can register right there on the website.
Wonderful. Actually. Just wonderful. Yeah. And it will be a pilgrimage. And you will experience these magnificent saints and churches of Europe. I'm going to start in Chicago with calls. Linda in Chicago, Illinois, listening on 88.5 FM. Linda, thank you for starting us off. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Italy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. When you said that the subject was Jesus, I wanted to call in because I've been a Catholic all my life. I'm 56 years old, and I just still am mystified by Jesus, how to even think about him. You know, when you read the Gospels, at times he seems so merciful and approachable, and then at other times, you know, when he's rebuking people, even his own disciples. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I think he'll be merciful with me, and sometimes I think I can't even fathom standing in front of him because it scares me. So I'm driving, and I will hang up and listen to your answer, but I appreciate whatever insight you can give me. Thank you.
What to make of this mystifying Jesus?
Well, Linda, I totally get Linda's conundrum here, because you know, you really can't fully understand him. In fact, he is mystifying because he is a mystery. He's God, and God is not someone that we can entirely comprehend. But I think, honestly, if we just think about it, love sometimes is tough love. And so Jesus is incredibly merciful to those who know they need mercy. Unfortunately, sometimes we get on a high horse, and as the apostles did, I mean, like arguing about who's greater, you know, or the Pharisees who thought they really had God in their back pocket, honestly. And they were hostile, you know, to God's real purposes in the name of God. And St. Paul was one of them. And later on, you know, he didn't meet Jesus in his public ministry, but he met him on a road, and he got knocked off his high horse, as we say, you know. But he fell in love with that person who confronted him with a simple question. Saul, why are you persecuting me? I think, honestly, to be really, really honest, Linda, I think that the Lord looks at us in love, even when we're messing up, because that's the way he looked at the rich young man. It says in Mark that as he knew the rich young man was asking, he was biting off more than he could chew. He knew the guy was not going to be able to really do what he was asking. You know, he was saying, you know, Lord, tell me, what do I need to be perfect? And Jesus knew he wasn't ready to be perfect, but he told him, okay. And he looked at him with love when he told him something that where he knew the guy wasn't going to be able to hack it, you know? And I think he looks at us with love even when we're messing up. And I don't know, I'm a grandfather, and my grandkids are old enough that sometimes they're selfish, you know, they pass the great, they're into the terrible twos, someone's already six. So every once in a while they mess up. And, you know, you have to look at them with almost, you can't smile. Like my daughter tells me, the mother says, Dad, don't laugh at them. Don't encourage them. So I have to stop laughing at these funny little games they play to get their way or whatever. But, you know, I think God, in a certain way, when we mess up, he looks at us with love and tries to, you know, I think he loves us and smiles at us even when he has to rebuke us and tell us to straighten up. I think he's really crazy about us. And I think you see that in the way he deals with the lowly in the Gospels. You know, the woman caught in adultery, or the, you know, for example, Nathaniel, the man without guile. You know, he sees his heart and he says that to him. And that's kind of a mind blower to have God say, "Wow, here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile." You know, who's really genuine. Wow, what a compliment. So anyway, I think. Keep struggling, you know, to and I would just say, I'll offer this to you. The book, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, that I wrote, I think it's helped a lot of people really make some connections and come closer to him. So I'd offer that to you. Of course, the Gospels are number one, but I think the series, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the video series, or just the book, I think that'll help you a lot to dig into the person of Jesus. So I recommend it highly to you.
Well, Linda did hang up and listen, and thank you, Linda, very, very much for that. But it really is that, you know, if your grandkids didn't know you and you corrected them, it would be maybe horrifying and painful to them, but they know that you love them, and so it's not. And so even being corrected, the relationship is the way to know what he means by it, like to really get to the meaning of what he's doing.
Yeah, I think you're actually right. When you're in a loving relationship with the Lord, I think it makes it a lot easier to take when he has to tap you on the shoulder and kind of say, excuse me.
Excuse me. Is that how you wanted to be speaking today?
Yeah. And do you know, what's amazing is just how gentle the Lord really is. And honestly, how gentle in the times that Mary has appeared to people, just how tender and gentle she is with the children of Fatima, with Bernadette, and with Juan Diego, for example, Guadalupe. I think that should give us some hints. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many Catholics turn to Mary. They kind of afraid Jesus isn't quite the same, you know, and she's really merciful and she's tender. But, you know, she's really showing forth his heart. She's his ambassador, really, whenever she comes in some one of these wonderful experiences that have happened over the history of the human race, you know. where he sent his mother.
Linda, thank you again for that call. Let's go all the way up to North Dakota now, listening on Real Presence Radio. Shane in North Dakota, thank you for the call. Shane, go ahead with your question for Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very well.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, yeah, way up here in North Dakota, snow's finally starting to melt, but...
Melting so cold. In February? That is unheard of in Isn't North Dakota, Shane.
Crazy week here. Kind of getting nice. Up in the 30 degrees there. But, yeah, he actually answered a lot of what I was going to kind of speculate on with the last one, and I really liked what you said, Cy, about, you know, knowing somebody and then kind of getting scolded opposed to not knowing somebody. I really like what you said there. It was almost perfect. But I guess my question is more towards the actual relationship and what that looks like. With the saints, you know, and their servitude, I guess that kind of looks like it. I see it in my own father. You know, we work together, and through his labors and through his prayers before and after work, I totally see it. I've been in the Catholic Church my whole life. I'm 32. I did 9 years of altar boy serving. I did it because I had to do it, like a lot of people, I think. But I think there's this stoicism in my church that I grew up with where you just do it because it's the right thing to do. And
yeah.
So I don't think you get – it's like a relationship with your grandfather. You can love him, but you listen to him no matter what, you know. And I guess I kind of got that growing up. I never had this love thing where it's like, oh, if he's full of love, he's open to you and stuff. It's because, you know, there's give and take and human-to-human stuff. But I guess I don't when it goes beyond the tangible, it's just so hard, I think, for a lot of us to even recognize what that looks like, if you kind of know what I'm saying a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess the question in that would be, what does that look like amongst when say, like, whether it's a saint or the common labor person, the common lay person, what is it that you're looking for in these types of situations or in that relationship with Jesus?
Yep. Okay, let me respond to you, Shane, and just say this. When Jesus said, come follow me, to the apostles, that didn't mean, hey, guys, come and meet me every Tuesday night in room 202 of the synagogue where we'll have a Bible study. Now, the point I'm making here is it's not a once-a-week commitment to an event, whether it be Sunday Mass or even a Bible study, and I write Bible studies, so I'm certainly not against it. but a lot of us really... grew up kind of getting the idea that saying a few formal prayers in the morning or before you went to bed and going to Mass once a week, you know, that was enough to sustain what Jesus did was he invited people to drop everything and totally kind of restructure their lives around him and follow him. And the apostles literally left behind businesses and stuff like that. I think for most of us, we're not called to leave behind businesses necessarily and run to a monastery, but we are called to really walk with him daily. Discipleship means spending a lot of time with him. And you know, the way that can be done, even in amidst a busy life, is God's word and a more extensive prayer than just a few formal prayers in the morning and the evening. So I would say that that's what happened to me. I mean, for me, I fell in love. First of all, I had never read the Bible before, really. And I picked up scripture, and the times I had tried to read it before, it was like ancient history. And now, as I give myself to Christ, I actually ask him to speak through the living word to me when I read it. I want it to become a real communication. And daily scripture reading really changed my life. And I just don't think most of us get enough scripture. So I want to challenge everybody here. If you want to know Christ, start reading his word, but not just as study. Listen to him speak to you through his word. Ask him to do that before you crack the Bible. And I think there, things like Bible in a Year podcast, Jesus, the Way, Truth, and Life study. These things have really helped people. The Great Adventure by Jeff Cavins. They've helped people understand enough about Scripture so that they can daily hear God speak to them through individual Bible reading, through the readings of the Mass. So, you know, daily Mass, do I recommend that? Yes. If people can do it, great, do that. But, you know, Scripture reading can be done. The nice thing about Scripture reading, you can do it anywhere. You can have it on your phone. You can listen to the Liturgy of the Hours and pray along with them. But anyway, God's word really is a way to gain intimacy with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. And reading the lives of the saints helps us a lot to see in different states of life what discipleship really looks like, a close, intimate relationship with Jesus.
What do you think about that, Shane?
Yeah, it's great insight. I guess I would just say I'm thinking the tangible part of feeling this feeling, and I know no one can really maybe explain it, but a personal struggle is it's reading the word definitely and being like, okay, what am I reading here? Is this supposed to be, you know,
well,
is this something that is just taught to me so I can live a good life, or is this
real?
This guy actually talking to me, and I'm not getting that.
We got to take a break. We'll get to that right after this.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
That's tomorrow on Mortal Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Idley. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest this hour. We're talking about Jesus and relationship with Jesus, and Lent is coming up, and you can get beautiful materials to help you come closer to Jesus this Lent. If you just text Dr. Italy, D-R-I-T-A-L-Y with no spaces, to 33777. I mean, that's a very Christian number there, 33777.
Exactly.
You really shouldn't forget that. Text Dr. Italy and he'll get you those resources for a blessed Lent. I can't believe I'm saying Lent, but it is almost upon us.
It's almost here.
Shane in North Dakota on the line, and we've already spoken a little bit about that relationship with Christ, but he says he has feelings of, is this real, or, you know, is this a real person, or is it just a thing that I do to you know, help me morally be a better person?
Yeah. Well, God is more personal than we are. You know, if you think about it, we're made in his image and likeness, and God is not an impersonal force. He's super personal. You know, God is tri-personal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And but the thing is, most Catholics, honestly, a survey was shown back in, I think it was taken in about 2008 or 2010, but it showed that not just do Catholics have a problem with the Eucharist and correct faith in the Eucharist, but they have a real, they, most people who identify as Catholic don't think either that God is a person. They identify him as an impersonal force, or if he is a person, he's too remote to really have a personal relationship with him. So anyway, having a personal relationship with God, how do you do it? It's really caught in a lot of ways rather than taught. In other words, people who have a living relationship with Jesus help you to have one. So I would just encourage people here, if you're seeking a relationship with Jesus, yes, read God's holy word, but also find some people, brothers and sisters a little further down the road than you. If you're fortunate to find a priest, that's awesome. If not, again, somebody who's further down the road than you, who loves the Lord and advanced in their Catholic faith, they can help you really in conversation to find a deeper living relationship with Jesus. That's how it happened for me. Other people helped me, and including a priest, but not limited to a priest. I had people my age. I had a couple of people who are older and wiser. But anyway, they were all older and wiser in Christ than I was, and they helped me to develop this relationship. You know, when you have a priest who does this for you, you often call it spiritual direction. But it really, really pays to have somebody that you can talk to that can help kind of guide you in your relationship and developing a deeper relationship with Jesus.
Shane, yeah. It was such a wonderful conversation. Thank you. I hope that that all was helpful to you, and I hope that we'll get to speak again. Call whenever. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the relationship with Jesus, how to have it, how to help others have it, what it is. Whatever your question is, it is welcome here. We're going to go to Kentucky now. John's in Kentucky watching on YouTube. John, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Hello, Cy, Dr. D'Ambrosio. It's an honor to be on the air with you.
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been a Catholic for about a year now, and I was in RCIA for about a year before that. And my question is actually about guardian angels. I haven't found a ton of written work on them, but I know that we're all assigned a personal guardian angel. Dr. D'Ambrosio, what do you think, how do you think, what are the ways that Jesus uses our guardian to provide us with like that personal experience of his spirit and just him? Because, and the reason I ask, of course, is because I feel like since I've become Catholic, I've developed a much greater awareness of my personal guardian, and it's been very helpful because I spend a lot of time alone. So I'd like to hear your thoughts, please.
Well, one of the things I would like to say is this is just how much God loves us, that he made us unique, and he has a unique love and appreciation for what he's put into us and who we are. But we're so important that he's assigned an equally unique angel. Every angel is unique. You know, we kind of, I don't know, we'll see this one day when we're on the other side with him. But right now, we can't see angels. And I personally don't have a lot of supernatural discernment to kind of recognize angelic activity. But I've come also to appreciate the fact that I have a guardian angel and that he's with me. And I thank him. From time to time. And I, believe it or not, I thank the guardian angels of others that I love and other people I don't know, but that, you know, I've just become aware as I'm walking around that every person is accompanied by someone to help guide them. So I just think that's a beautiful thing, and it shows how much God loves us and how special each one of us is. I don't know what to say beyond that, because honestly, we don't know a lot about our guardian angels. We don't know a lot about the angelic world. We're given hints in public revelation in Scripture, and there are private revelations that we can choose to believe or not, that various saints have had. All I know is it's kind of marvelous, and it just is a reminder not only how much God loves us, but how much bigger things are, how much bigger the world really is, the universe really is, how much more wonderful the mysteries of life and God are than what we can see and measure empirically. You know, that's all I can say about it, really.
John, thank you. Thank you very much. And God bless you. And congratulations on finding your way into the Catholic Church now for a year.
Beautiful. That is
fantastic. Beautiful. I'm going all the way up now to Ontario, Canada. Brent, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Brent, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So looking for an opinion, I would say on Sundays, my day is focused on Jesus. And if I was asked whether I have a relationship or a personal relationship with Jesus, I would say yes, very much so. However, on Monday to Saturday, I would say my focus is on the Father and most of my prayers, and I talk a lot to the Father. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, but perhaps because Jesus taught us to pray to the Father, and Jesus prayed to the Father. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. Maybe I should focus more on Jesus during the week as well.
All right. Well, let me just say that no one can come to the Father except through me, said Jesus. So, you know, Jesus actually was focused on the Father. So if you're focusing on the Father, being a good disciple of Jesus, our prayer in the Roman Catholic tradition, our liturgy is generally, we pray to Jesus in the Lamb of God. We pray to Jesus in the Gloria. But we're actually praying to the Father through him, with him, and in him most of the time. So honestly, I think it's great that you have a relationship with the Father. And I think Catholics typically, like, I first discovered an intimate relationship with Jesus, and then Jesus led me to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. I think that's typically the way it works. And so honestly, we need to cultivate our relationship with all three of them. And the book, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, I really want to help people develop that relationship with Jesus. In a subsequent book called What We Believe, The Beauty of the Catholic Faith, I really try to help people develop and deepen their relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and with the Church, which is the body of Christ, you know. So anyway, I recommend that to you. But I basically say, don't worry about it. I mean, heck, develop your relationship with the three divine persons and at different times, different moments, different days, different seasons of your life. You probably find that you'll be led to focus on one or the other of the three divine persons, because our human attention span is limited. God is not. So.
I know mine is. Brent, thank you. I really do hope that was helpful to you. We have to take our break now. And lots of folks still on the line for Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. We're talking about relationship with Jesus this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Father Sebastian Walsh will be here to talk about both his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, and about each beatitude. We'll do that next hour. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio will be with us for one more segment, so you can still get your call in here, 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Steve Leegers, president of Tri-State Catholic Radio, and I am a sinner. A sinner who needs God's grace and mercy, especially when I'm weak or disappointed in myself or have hurt others. Catholic Radio and its wonderful variety of programming reminds me that God loves me and uses radio as a medium to broadcast his love and encouragement into our world. Find a Catholic station in your area and tune in.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in his church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest. You can check out all of his stuff, and there's a lot of great stuff there at DrItaly.com, DrItaly.com. If you want to get the wonderful materials to help you through your Lenten season, just text to the word, it's just do it all as one word, DrItaly, DrItaly. To 33777. Text it right now, and you'll be on your way to a very profitable, spiritually profitable season of Lent. I'm a bit nervous about going to the next call, Nicholas, because I don't know in the history of Catholic Answers if we've had two people from Rhode Island on at the same time. And Dr. D'Ambrosio is from Rhode Island, and Nicholas is in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm not sure what will happen. We'll risk it. It seems like nothing good can come from this, but we're going to risk it. Nicholas, are you there with us?
Yes, thank you for the introduction.
Well, you're very welcome.
Dr. D'Ambrosio, just wanted to compliment you on When the Church Was Young. I found that book last year when I was reading it extremely helpful in learning a lot of the early history of the church and the church fathers. My question with the book was, there's so many great examples of the early church, whether it's learning more things about its tradition or people that suffered martyrdom for the faith. In learning all about these examples, did that really help deepen your faith as well as you got to learn more thoroughly about, you know, Polycarp or John Chrysostom and some of the examples?
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe it. Like when I was 16 in Providence, Rhode Island, St. Augustine's Parish, you know, St. Providence College, that's kind of my stomping grounds. I met a priest who insisted, as I was trying to grow in Christ, that I read the Liturgy of the Hours and do the Office of Readings. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was introduced to the Fathers of the Church. The Church gives us a menu, a beautiful menu in the Office of Readings. And by the way, you can get the Liturgy of the Hours on an app. I Breviary is one, Laudate is another, Divine Office is another, but there are apps on iPhone or on Android that you can get. You can do it online with a computer. But anyway, you don't have to buy all the books and figure out how to construct it every day. It's put together for you. And the Office of Readings is just amazing. A whole page of the Bible and a page of the commentary on that passage, a lot of times from one of the fathers. So that led me to want to learn about their lives. And man, it blew me away. So yeah, it's been a great inspiration for me. And it's so many of those saints that I wrote about and many more from the early church have been models, examples, inspirations for me. In fact, I'm sitting in front of a few icons in the back here, and St. Ambrose is one alongside of St. Paul. So St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Polycarp, you know, these guys are incredible. And I, you know, one of the reasons I go on pilgrimages is I go to the spots where these guys were hanging out, you know, and it's really awesome to walk in their footsteps as they follow Jesus.
Okay, Nicholas.
Yeah, sounds great. And another coincidence, he mentioned the school I went to. So I graduated Providence College myself. So I guess we're more closer geographically than we thought, as far as just having Providence in common. That's really
you know
cool.
What? Everyone that's from Rhode right. Island is close geographically, though. Nicholas, that's not that's really
yeah,
not that impressive. It's the size of a rest stop, Nicholas. So, I mean, congratulations. Thanks, Nicholas. I appreciate that that call very, very much. I hope you'll call again. I mean, I didn't mean to offend you, so I really do hope you will call again sometime. I'm going to go down to San Antonio, Texas. That's a different size state.
Yes, it is.
Darren, listening on 89.7 FM. Go ahead, Darren, with your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, Dr. D'Ambrosio, thank you very much. This is a topic that's very dear to my heart. I have a very analytical relationship with my faith, and I struggle with the personal relationship side of things. And one of the things you mentioned was reading scripture more to encourage that personal relationship. And the fear I have is reading my own desires into scripture. I have a lot of, let's say, evangelical friends that read the Bible earnestly and come to very different conclusions about their faith than I do in my Catholic faith. And I struggle with that fear and just how to overcome that so that I'm reading scripture and getting that personal relationship, but not, again, reading my own wants and desires into the Word of God.
Sure. Well, the first thing I would just say is to say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to speak to me. And so speak to me what you want me to hear. You know, help me to interpret scripture according to the same spirit by which it was written, your Holy Spirit. So it's a good prayer to pray before you open up the Bible. And then the other thing I would just say is if you're in the school of the liturgy of the church, this is, you're getting really fed and getting the scriptures in context of the tradition of the church. So what do I mean by the school of the liturgy? Well, if you're going to Mass in a regular way, and once again, I'm just going to mention the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours is part of the church's liturgy, and it helps us interpret scripture with the mind of the church, especially that office of readings. You're reading commentaries by the fathers of the church, okay? So if you're being schooled in the liturgy and you're reading scripture and you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, I think you can trust that generally speaking, he's going to guide you. You know, you're in scripture's native habitat. You're in the Catholic Church and the Catholic tradition from which the scriptures come, the right place to interpret them. So your evangelical brothers and sisters don't necessarily have that. First of all, I don't want to write them off because the Holy Spirit, they want the Holy Spirit to speak to them. And many times the Holy Spirit guides them, but they don't have that context of the living tradition. They don't have the church's magisterium to guide them. You know, anytime that you're interpreting scripture in a way that is, you think it's telling you to sin, obviously that's wrong. If you're interpreting scripture in a way that's contrary to church doctrine, obviously that's wrong. As long as you're avoiding those two things, I think you need to just trust that he's going to guide you and not be too terribly worried.
Okay, Darren.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your insight.
Wonderful, wonderful.
You're
Darren.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're talking with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio this hour about relationship with Jesus. Your calls are welcome. We go now to Florida, where Xavier is listening, on the Catholic Answers Live app. Xavier, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, it's an awesome app.
Thank you.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Yes. So I've been struggling for the past year or two with theodicy, God's justice and evil in the world, and also just some dark passages in the Old Testament. So I feel like I'm kind of losing faith, but I'm still remaining Catholic because I don't want to go to hell. So my question is, if I just remain in a relationship with the church out of fear of hell, am I truly a believer? Am I actually believing, or am I just trying to avoid hell?
Okay, well, let me say, wanting to avoid hell is a good thing. So first and foremost, when you repent out of fear of hell, that's called imperfect contrition. And God basically says, okay, I'll take it. You know, like the prodigal son, when he came back on the road, he wanted to avoid the hell of where he was living. He wasn't coming back because he had hurt his father and was so sad he hurt his father. He's come back because he was hungry and wanted to avoid the poverty and degradation of hanging out with the swine. But the father accepted that in the story, and he ran out to meet him. And so the Lord's going to run out to meet you when, if you're repenting and doing what's right because you want to avoid hell. I mean, that's good. But I think the Lord wants to bring you to more perfect contrition, where you're really doing stuff out of love of God. There's a lot more joy in doing that. There's a lot more power in that. And I would just say, I would continue to seek his true justice. Theodicy means, justifying God, trying to defend God based on the evil that's in the world. How do you reconcile that with the goodness of God? You know, ask him to show you how to do that. I mean, we don't have enough time for me to kind of go through, back and forth with you about the doubts you have. But, in the Old Testament, just keep in mind that God is communicating to people in that revelation based on where they were at. He was kind of bringing them along. And there's a lot of things. It's not the fullness of revelation. The fullness of revelation is really Jesus. And what you're going to hear in the next hour, the Sermon on the Mount, in a certain way, Jesus is kind of showing who God really is. And, people are ready for it to some degree, and some degree they weren't. Only in the Holy Spirit can we really be truly ready to understand who God is, what the Sermon on the Mount's about, and have the power to live it. So anyway, I encourage you to listen to this next hour and ask the Lord to really help you to let go of your fears and your troubles with the Old Testament, and just let him reveal to you through the Sermon on the Mount, through scripture, through prayer, who he really is, and why his mercy and his justice are really combined. They come together in the person of Jesus.
Xavier, thank you so much for the call. If you'd like a copy of our book, Hard Sayings, which is about many of those very difficult passages in Scripture, you're welcome to it. Just hang on the line and we'll send it to you. And if you give us your address, we'll send it off and you'll still have time to listen the next hour. So just hang on, Xavier, if you want the book. The number is 888-318-7884. I want to get to a question from Michaela in Omaha, Nebraska. She wasn't able to stay on the line listening, of course, on Spirit Catholic Radio in Nebraska. How do I help my four children have a relationship with Jesus when I struggle with having one with him?
Ha ha! Well, that is a great question, Michaela, and I say this to a lot of parents. You know, having children is God's sneaky way of forcing you to really get your own act together. Because honestly, that's a motivation. Can God work outside of you? Yeah. I mean, I remember some key people other than my parents who helped me to see the face of God. But the point is, you're really called to develop that relationship so that they can not just hear about it from you and it be believable, but they can kind of see it in you. You know, mm-hmm. You're supposed to be the light of the world, which starts with the light to your kids. And you can't be really the light unless you're on fire. And the Lord wants to enkindle that fire in you. And I'm just going to say this Lent is a great opportunity for you, Michaela, to really go a lot farther than you've ever gone. And I encourage you, text to 33777 and just text the message DRITALY, and you'll sign up for my email list, and I'll help walk you through Lent so that it becomes really a transformation experience. That's what Lent's supposed to be. It's like our spring training every year. So I'm going to give you a free booklet. And everybody who calls, you know, everyone who's listening, go and text to that number, because there's a booklet that'll help you get a whole lot more out of Lent. That's a free gift for me. And I really want to keep in touch with you to help you do that. You know, and I'll be praying for you, Michaela, and I'll be praying for all of you guys who are listening on this show. Please pray for me that we all together grow in that living relationship with Jesus that makes us glow. We grow so we can glow and be a light to the world.
You know, thank you very much, Michaela. I do hope that was helpful to you. Do text Dr. Italy, DRITALY, to 33777. I don't bring my phone into the studio, so I can't do it now. But at the break, I will go send that text off, because I'm in need of some help for Lent. I get a slight, I don't know what my problem is. I get a slight sense of dread before Lent that I'm not going to do it right. And I got to work on that. So I'm looking forward to the materials. It's funny that you were talking about glowing, because Rob in Cleveland called and wants to know how you make the relationship with Jesus sound fun and exciting when you talk about it.
Well, is he asking how I do it?
Yeah. How do you do it?
Well, because it is fun and exciting for me. So, if it's fun and exciting for me, then that's the only way I can do it and it be authentic and it not be a con job, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, that was like the key. One of the key things is the gospel life is an adventure. And I was after adventure. That's why I was in rock and roll. You know, to me, the greatest adventure in the world was getting a record deal and being at a rock concert with 10,000 people and people cheering for me. You know, that was the thrill that I was after. But, you know, the fact that we are really called, in a certain way, we're built for adventure. And somehow we don't get it, that the gospel is that. And so I got it because I saw it in other people. And then I started to experience it. I've been just talking about what I experienced. Like, I'm a theologian. Yeah, I got a PhD. Yeah, but it all started with that living relationship, and that's what sustained me, and that's what the real deal is, you know, is apart from the book learning, you know what I'm saying?
I do very much know what you're saying. I don't have the book learning, but I can attest to the other part.
That's great. That's all you need, really, you know?
It's like I did have a theology professor who used to say to us, if you need a college degree to understand it, it's not really good news. So
that's great. I love it.
Dr. Italy, you should check him out at dritaly.com. If you want to do that cruise down the Rhine River in May and June, you can find the information on that at dritaly.com. If you want those materials for Lent, really kind of jumpstart your Lent, just text Dr. Italy with no punctuation, no spaces, Dr. Italy, to 33777. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, it is always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your joy with us.
Thank you for sharing this hour with me. It's been a pleasure.
Father Sebastian Walsh coming up next. Another hour on Jesus, this one on the Beatitudes, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.